Well, good to see you, Crosspoint. My name is Sean, for those of you who may not know who I am, and I would love to get to know you. We have got an online welcome card. We're going to include a link in the comments section on this video right now, and we'd love for you to fill that out, whether you are new and just joining us, or maybe you've been a part of Crosspoint forever. We would love for you to fill that out and just let us know that you are here with us, and there's also a spot on the bottom of that for praises and prayer requests, and to let us know what's going on in your life and anything of that sort. Giving here at Crosspoint is very, very easy, especially right now. There are a bunch of options that are on the screen for giving through our website or the text to give option, or if you are here in person, there's a box in the back of the room that I'm standing in where offerings can be dropped in there. But if you are new and you're just checking things out, please forget everything that I just said. We want this service to be our gift to you. And we would love to get to know you, answer any questions that you may have about the church and everything that goes on. Just a few things to bring to your attention. On October 30th, here in Watford City, downtown, there's an event called the Trail of Treats. And we are taking part in that this year. We're going to be giving away free hot dogs and goodie bags and all kinds of fun stuff. And we would love participation in that in a few different ways. If you want to be there and help with us during the event, you can let us know that you're interested in being a part of that. And then also here at our church campus, we're going to be taking donations of candy to be handing out at that event, and we would love to get as much of that as possible to be able to sugar up every kid in our town. For the ladies of our church, we are having a progressive dinner, one of our fun annual events here, and that's going to be taking place November 2nd at 6 p.m., and you can let us know if you want to be a part of that by emailing info@crosspointnd.com, or you can get a hold of my wife, Marta, or Melanie, or anybody here at the church. We'd love to talk to you more about that event. Also, child dedications are coming up next week, and so we're looking forward to that, and if you are interested in having your young ones dedicated, we'd love to get you information about that. Well, it's great to have you all joining us. We just finished up our series that we were looking at called Almost There, and Pastor Matt wrapped it up last week, and today we are in part one of a three-part message series that we are calling The Real Enemy. It's incredibly important, I believe, in our spiritual journey to learn how we do spiritual battle, especially now being the election year that it is, which they're already, it just seems they're always such divisive years, right? But it just seems like this year has been, it's been tense, right? And more tense than usual, but of course, even as I'm saying that, we always seem to say that too. Like every single 4 years, we're saying, this year is especially bad, right? But the question that we always have to ask, as well as answer in these times, is who is the real enemy here? Who is the real enemy? And as soon as I ask that, some of you probably have an answer in your head already, and I'll just be upfront and say, the real enemy is not the other side, okay? The real enemy is one who loves to distract God's people into thinking that the enemy is actually somebody else, okay? Now, I'm not saying that we don't have or haven't had human enemies. God's word is very clear all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that we see God's people constantly in tension with their enemies. And you could say the real enemy here is the one behind the work of all the evil that's happening in our world and has happened in our world throughout the course of history. And so what we want to do in this series is we want to better understand just who our real enemy is so that we can better fight back against the forces of darkness. And so I'll start with something that I think is kind of interesting. If you had asked me, what is the greatest deception of the devil? Well, what is the greatest trick of our enemy that he's actually done? I would say probably, as I've been thinking about this, that the greatest trick that our enemy has done is actually convinced so many people that he does not exist. Have you ever thought about it like that? He's literally convincing people that he does not exist, and if he does exist, what he does is actually not that bad. And we may believe in God, but it's like certainly there's no forces of darkness actually at work, right? And so what I hope that we'll understand is that just as God is real, we also need to understand that the devil is real. And a little fact about the devil, he's not just some little guy in a red suit with cute little horns sitting on your shoulder with a pitchfork whispering bad things for you to do, right? There is a constant spiritual battle going on every single day between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And our God is the God of light. The devil, we come to know throughout Scripture as the prince of darkness. Darkness being the opposite of light, right? Good, you're tracking. So our God is the truth. The devil is the father of lies, right? Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. The devil came to actually steal, kill, and destroy. Scripture actually teaches us that our battle is not against flesh and blood. In other words, you're not necessarily in a battle with your mother-in-law. It may seem like that, right? But it's not the case. You're not just in a battle against that boss that drives you crazy, okay? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our true, real battle is against the powers and principalities of this dark world. And so that's what we're going to dive into for the next few weeks and look at what it is to fight back against the real enemy. Let me give you a little backstory about this force of darkness that I think will help set us up for today and build a foundation for this series. A lot of people don't realize that before the foundation of the world, we know that God created others with him in the heavens, right? God created what's known as archangels. He created Michael, Gabriel, and he created one known as Lucifer, okay? Lucifer was actually kind of like a worship angel, all right? Beautiful, just full of wisdom and glory. And the problem was Lucifer actually became very jealous of God. Okay, God was getting all the glory, all the attention. Lucifer wanted some of that attention taken from God and put on him. He wanted some of that glory to himself. And so he fell into this pride and essentially pitted himself against God because God says, I will not share my glory with anybody else. And so when Lucifer couldn't handle not getting the glory, God then cast him down from heaven, and then Lucifer took about one-third of the angels with him. Why does this matter, you might ask? Well, those angels that he brought with him are now referred to as the demons that we still do battle with even today. I'm not saying this to scare you, right? You are created in the image of God, but because the devil hates God, that's where the battle comes from. It's not going to be if he attacks. The reality is it's when he attacks, that he is already attacking. And so this message series is designed to help arm us and equip us to always recognize who the real enemy is and how he's doing the work that he does. I believe with all my heart that the devil is actually going to try and keep you from hearing this. He's going to try and keep you from hearing the messages of this series. Watch. Next week, there's going to be something that's going to come up and distract you. You may have already been distracted from being a part of this series today. I believe even more so that the evil one is going to try and do everything he can to prevent us from living this. And that is why it's so important, I believe, that we don't just hear God's word, but that we live it every single day. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He said this, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. It's the real enemy. Some of the basis for this series came from a book called The Strategy of Satan. If you want to read more, it's a little book by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He is one of the best writers and teachers of the Bible, I think, ever. And if you're a brand new believer, he's easy enough to understand. And if you've been studying the Bible for decades, he's deep enough to push you. He's got commentaries on every single book of the Bible that are actually extremely deep and rich with historical context. And this is what Jesus says in John 8, verse 44. It says, he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a, what is he? He's a liar and the father of lies. So anytime the devil speaks, he's lying. He always lies. This was and still is his first strategy. This was his strategy in attacking Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we're going to see that he actually attacked the authority of God's word with lies. It's crazy interesting when you think about this. Now, who was the serpent in the Garden of Eden? That was actually the physical form of Lucifer, or the evil one. The serpent came and he deceives Eve. Now, how did he do it? He did it by attacking the word of God. Think about this. There are so many different ways that the serpent could have tried to take Eve away from God. He could have preyed on her insecurities that she may have had. He could have been like, that's my best snake impression, okay? My best serpent impression, so just follow me on this. He could have been like, Adam doesn't really love you, right? This is sounding kind of creepy as I hear myself say this, but walk with me. You know, he's sick of hearing about all your feelings all the time. He liked it better when it was just him and the animals. He wants his rib back. I don't know. He could have tried to get her, you know, in these type of ways. There are so many ways that the devil deceives, but just for our purposes today, we're going to look at one particular interaction, and we're going to let Eve be our case study for today. We'll just look at a few of the ways that the devil deceived Eve, all right? First thing he does, the devil questioned God's word. The devil questioned God's word. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, this is our main text for this, for today. It says, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say that? Notice, the deceiver did not deny that God had spoken, right? Instead, he questioned what God had spoken. And this is what he does today. He'll try to question and plant little seeds of doubt. Do you really believe that the Bible is a book from God? Surely you're smarter than that, right? You're not naive enough to think that there was a creator who just spoke and poof, everything created, right? Surely you're intellectual enough to believe that everything just sort of went boom, and everything worked together by some explosion. You wouldn't be that naive, right? Like, hey, God didn't really mean that. Like, not for you. Like, not for now. I mean, maybe hundreds of years ago, but right now it's 2020, right? By now, surely you've evolved past that. And besides, God loves you so much, right? And if he really loved you, he'd let you get whatever you want. He'd let you do whatever you want. God didn't mean that for you, right? He questions God's word, and he tries to get us to question God's word. And evidently, Eve apparently started to question God's word. And so let me show you why I believe this is true, because God told her that she may eat freely. Now, everybody say freely. Freely, right? She may eat freely. We talked about this in a little bit different context a few weeks ago. God said, you may eat freely from the fruit from all of these trees. Eat that over there, eat that, that mango, that's a good one. Eat, whatever it is. Just not this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. You can eat from anything else that you want. Eat freely from anything else that you want, just not that one. I love you, you're blessed, there's freedom, just not that one tree, right? But then Eve gets into this dialogue with the devil, and she left out one key word here. See if you can notice what she left out. Genesis 3, verse 2. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden." What word did she leave out? The word freely, right? She left out the word freely. Perhaps implying that God was holding out on her. Oh, there was more. What happened? The moment Eve actually started to question the goodness of God, that was when it was easier for her to disobey the will of God. In fact, this is true for all of us. And you can write this down. When you start to question the goodness of God, it's easier to disobey the will of God. The moment that Satan started to question God's word, Eve started to wonder, is God really as good as I thought he was? The deceiving devil questioned God's word. The second thing, the devil twisted God's words. He twisted God's words. This passage continues with verse 3. But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, "You must not eat it or touch it, or you will die." "No, you certainly will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He's saying, you will be like God. Do you know that this is exactly what Lucifer wanted before he fell from heaven? He wanted to be just like God. And what's interesting, the way that he twisted God's words is that Eve was already created in the image of God. She was already a reflection of the heart of God, and yet the serpent says, did God really say that you could be like God? And this is exactly what the evil one does today. Over and over again, he twists God's words. Oh, God is love, right? God is love. That's true. And then he twists it. Oh, God is love. He'll understand. Do whatever you want. Besides, scripture says, thou shalt not judge, right? So nobody can judge you for what you're doing. It's your life. Do whatever it is that you want to do with your life. He'll forgive you anyways, right? He's going to forgive. God wants you happy. Do whatever you want to do that's going to lead you there. And he attacks the authority of God's word. Here's what I hope we'll understand. We are under attack. We are constantly under attack. We're under attack. The evil one comes after us. He comes after family. He comes after finances. He comes after our physical well-being. He comes after our emotional and mental health. We are under attack. Now think about it like this. Let me just say this. If somebody breaks into my house, okay, hypothetical situation, and comes after my family, what do you think it's going to be that I'm going to do? Let me tell you what I'm not going to do, okay? I'm not going to sit in the back room and go, oh dear, I hope they don't go towards my kid's room. I hope they just, they go into the kitchen and they clear out the food and then they make their way back out. I hope they don't go, Marta, you need to go tell them something. Go show them what's up, right? That's not going to happen. What am I going to do? In a moment, I am turning into Chuck Norris and Conor McGregor all at one. I'm getting my ninja stars, my BB guns, these guns, right? I'm going to work. I'm getting my guitar. I'm turning everything into a weapon if this is what's going down. There's something happening, and adrenaline is going, and it is pumping, and the situation is going to get dealt with, right? Every now and then, we have to recognize we are under attack. We say, devil, not today. Not my house, not my family, not my finances, not my health. No, devil, you have no place here. I fight back in the name of Jesus. I fight back in the name that is above every other name, the name at which every demon must flee. I fight in the name of Jesus. I am not sitting back and letting this happen and just sort of hoping for the best and just wishing, is it ever going to get better, right? Not today. I thought about calling this series, Not Today, Satan, right? But we declare, I know who I am in Christ. I know what I have in Christ. I have the same power living in me that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in me. Not today, Satan. We are in a battle. You're in a battle. I'm in a battle. We need to recognize this, even right now. The good news is that we battle not against flesh and blood, right? We don't use earthly weapons. We have spiritual weapons. And we've talked about this before. Paul talks in Ephesians about the full armor of God. You've got the helmet of salvation. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the belt of truth. You've got our shoes are prepared with the gospel, the readiness of peace. And then we've got our offensive weapon, right? It's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And what I hope we'll understand is that the Bible is not just some little book that teaches us how to be nice and kind. All right? The word of God is actually our greatest offensive weapon wielded against the forces of darkness in every single spiritual battle that we fight. Interestingly, there are two different types of swords that were actually used in battle during the time in which the Bible was written. There was this really, really big sword that you would use to swing. You had to use both hands to swing this big sword. And after David kills Goliath, he takes one, he borrows it from Saul. He takes this big sword, he cuts Goliath's head off, just add insult to injury, right? Then there was another type of sword that was a little bit shorter, and it was sharp on both edges of the sword. This was known as the gladius. That's a cool name, right? The gladius. And this was used in more hand-to-hand combat. So when the enemy got too close for you to swing the big sword, you would draw the gladius. Which I must say, gladius. It just makes me think of the gladiator, right? Great movie. But the gladius was sharper than any other double-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, completes the comparison. It says, for the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any gladius, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is how we fight back with the spoken word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That's how Jesus did battle and fought back against Satan after he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. So he spends 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus is communing with his Father during this time. He's seeking God and he's denying himself physical nutrition. And you know at this point, 40 days and 40 nights, he's run down. He's weak. He's vulnerable. 40 days. I can't imagine. I can't fathom 40 days. Because if I skip lunch, I'm worthless, right? I am grumpy. Nobody wants to be around me. I am weak. I am wore down after skipping one meal, right? 40 days and 40 nights. This is probably the most vulnerable physical moment that Jesus has. And what does the devil do? The devil seeks to capitalize on it. He attacks when Jesus is at his weakest. He attacks. And some of you say, well, you know, I haven't been attacked in a while. Can I say that that may be an even bigger warning than anything? Because when you do something for the kingdom, the enemy attacks. When you're bold for your faith, the enemy attacks. When you're generous with what you have, the devil is going to attack. When you're glorifying God with worship and you're singing praises and truths that are heartfelt to him, the devil is going to attack. When you're using your gifts that God has blessed you with to serve the kingdom and make a difference somewhere, the devil is going to attack. Jesus was glorifying God, and the devil comes in three substantial waves. Wave one says, Jesus, you look hungry right now. Why don't you turn these rocks over here into Bavarian cream Long Johns? That's my version of it. And he said, why don't you turn it into bread? Well, why eat bread when you can eat Long Johns, right? So that's what I say it was that he said. And what does Jesus do? Jesus goes on the offense. He draws his sword. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of God. Wave number two comes, and the demons and the devil, they say, Jesus, why don't you just throw yourself off this cliff? God will send the angels to whisk you back to safety. And Jesus, again, he draws his sword. No, it's written, we shall not put the Lord our God to the test. And then one more time, the enemy attacks, and Jesus says, get away from me, devil. And he draws the living sword, the word of God. He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God only. Worship him alone. And at that moment, the devil fled, right? It's the sword of the Spirit. And if I can be really honest, I think one of the biggest problems today is too many people don't even know where their sword is. We don't. Maybe that's you. You don't know. You don't even remember where you put it, where it's at. Like, I remember seeing it somewhere. It was around here. Maybe I put it in the closet. You know, I usually bring it out for Easter, and this year we had Easter at home, so I didn't bring it out. So it's been away for a while, right? And we wonder why we feel spiritually attacked all the time. We need to open our hearts to God in prayer, and we need to open the Word of God up, and we need to let it give us that spiritual nourishment that we need in order to actually go into the battle. What does the Word do? The Word of God, it convicts us when we stray off. It directs us back into God's perfect will. The Word comforts us when we're hurting. The Word encourages us to become what God intended for us to be. The Word reminds us that it's not about us, that it's all about Him. When we feed on God's Word, it strengthens us and it washes over us and it changes us to become the version of us that God intended for us to be. I would beg you, plead with you to make this a part of your daily life every single morning, whatever time of day that it fits for you. For me, it has to be in the morning. Before I do anything else, open the Bible or click open the Bible app on your phone. Just like we oftentimes, we lose our physical Bible. That thing can get buried in the amount of apps that we've got on our phone, right? We know exactly where Instagram is. We know exactly where Facebook is. All the apps we normally use. And sometimes it's like, I downloaded the Bible app. I just don't know. It's in some folder somewhere, right? That needs to be second nature. We open that thing up, we know our thumb just knows where to go, right? So you do that. You do a plan. You finish that plan. You do another plan. I've got a year through the Bible plan that I'm doing right now, and another plan I'm doing in addition to that one. So what do? When we're in battle, we fight back with the Word of God. Whenever we feel a little bit depressed, what do you? You quote the Word. Why so downcast, O my soul? I put my hope in the living God. When your family member is under attack, what do you say? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you feel like you just can't make it another day, you say, you quote scripture, I will not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time I will reap a harvest if I do not give up. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything that God has asked and required of me to do through Him who gives me the strength to do it. When the diagnosis is not good, I believe that all things are possible through our good God. When I'm not sure what to even do, I say, I trust the Lord my God with all my heart. I lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, know Him, and He will make my path straight. If I feel ashamed because I did something I wasn't supposed to do, I quote scripture, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I confess my sins, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When your marriage is under attack, you draw the sword. You draw the sword. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It does not delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. Love always hopes. Love always trusts. Love always protects. And now yet these remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all of these is love. Not today, Satan. Not today. You are not going to rob me of what God intended to bless me with. Not today. If you think for a moment the devil is some cute little guy in a Halloween costume, you probably also think that Jesus is some nice little hipster carrying a staff with a lamb on his shoulders, right? While God is love, He is also righteous. While He is full of grace, His word also tells us that He comes in judgment. When He returns, according to John in Revelation 1, it says the hair of His head was white as wool, white as snow, and His eyes like a fiery flame. His feet were like fine bronze as is fired in a furnace, and His voice like the sound of cascading waters. He had seven stars in His right hand. A sharp, double-edged sword came from His mouth, right? The word of God. And His face was shining like the sun at full strength. A sharp, double-edged sword, it says, came from His mouth. What was He doing? He was speaking the word. He was doing spiritual battle. He was speaking the word just like the Father did in the beginning. God spoke and created the world, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus. See, the devil is a liar. Jesus is the truth. Devil is a liar. Jesus is the truth. Every time we sin against God, it's because we believed at one point the devil's lies, at least temporarily. But when you know the truth, His word tells us that the truth will set us free. So whenever the devil tries to lie, we confidently, boldly proclaim, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. I know God's words. It is written. This is who I am in Christ. This is what I have in Christ. Satan, you are defeated. I am not fighting for victory, devil. I am fighting from victory in Jesus. You get behind me. You are a defeated foe. Because greater is He who lives in me than he who is living in the world. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You so much for the truth of Your word. Lord, that we can take Your word and we can go on the offense with it. So God, I pray that you would empower your church today, God, through to be full of your word, speaking truth, doing battle against the forces of evil, that we may shine your light and seek to glorify you in all that we do. Everybody, wherever you find yourself right now, continuing to pray, those of you who would say, yes, I am a follower of Jesus, but I want to be even more passionately engaged in God's word. Just raise your hand. Just own it right now. There's something about doing a physical act of saying, that is me, if that's you. Awesome. Father, we seek you first. And God, seeking you through your word, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us. God, for those who are in a battle even right now, I pray that your living word dwelling within them would give them the faith to fight back, God, believing that all things through you are possible. Thank you, Lord, that the word became flesh and dwells among us. And so, God, I pray that you would go before us today. Lord, that you would be our strength in everything that we do. Lord, every motivation, every action we take, Lord, let it be inspired by you. As by following you, we fight against the forces of the evil one. And so we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We pray that you would go before us, leading the way. It's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Listen, we would love to have a conversation with you. If you're listening to this right now and you're saying, you know what, I'm here today, but I don't know if I'm in a relationship with Jesus. I would love to have a conversation with you and tell you more about what that could look like for you even right now. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.